This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Having a baby can feel beautiful and miraculous, but it also can be painful and frightening. Despite our medical advances, pregnancy can be downright dangerous for women, especially Black women. The state of Ohio hopes to improve health outcomes by covering doula services for Medicaid patients starting later this year. Today, we're going to spend the hour talking about doulas and this effort to make their services available to more women in Ohio. Joining me now are Cherished Hearts founder and doula, Jacqueline Presley. Thanks for being here, Jacqueline.
Thank you.
Restoring Our Own Through Transformation, Chief Executive Officer and co-founder, Jessica Roach. TriHealth Bethesda, North Hospital, OBGYN, Dr. Sasha Nandial. Thanks for being here, Dr. Nandial.
My pleasure.
And Doula Advisory Board Chair for the Ohio Board of Nursing and Doulify and Mom Effect founder, Marie McCausland. Welcome, Marie.
Thanks.
Marie, let's start with you. Explain, what is a doula and what kind of support do doulas provide? How do they work with pregnant moms?
Sure. Doulas are your non-medical support person. So they're there to provide emotional and informational guidance and support so that a new mom and birthing person can have their, have what they want in their birth and their postpartum experience.
And Marie, how are doulas different from midwives?
Oh, completely. So doulas, again, are non-medical professionals. One of the other members on our doula advisory board said, doulas are hands-on, not hands-in. And I feel like that was such a wonderful explanation of what we are. We support you and your wishes. We're not there to catch a baby or anything medical of the sort.
Yeah. And Jacqueline, how do doulas work with midwives or nurses or OBGYNs, or do they work directly with any of those folks?
So we work to collaborate together sometimes when those environments are actually available to do so. So I know that my team definitely works with midwives more than not. And then with hospital systems, like the doctors and other people within the hospital systems, we do like work to communicate and like we support the mom more than anything.
Mm-hmm. Mostly working for the moms.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Dr. Nandial, in your practice, what has your experience been working with doulas?
It has been amazing. I truly relish the opportunity to work with doulas because they're providing a support that I feel like I am unable to honestly provide, being at bedside the entire labor process. It's such a gift to be able to collaborate with them. And I truly think I see better outcomes with labor and delivery and likely lower C-section rates. And that is supported by evidence.
And Dr. Nandial, I understand you had a doula during a pregnancy. Can you tell us about your experience?
Yes. So like any new mom, I was very nervous about labor and delivery despite, my career. I just, assumed that the worst things would happen. And I needed something other than my partner and my knowledge to kind of reassure me that I could have, for instance, natural childbirth, which I did. I thought that was the best way to achieve my goals. And it was very helpful. And she was with me the whole process and very available, had techniques that none of the nurses knew, and truly helped, I think, me feel empowered. And that's something that I wish every patient felt.
Hmm. And when you say natural childbirth, tell us what you mean by that.
So that was my goal, was to have a delivery without an epidural.
Gotcha. Okay. Jacqueline, we're going to talk about whether doula care can make a difference for infant and maternal mortality. But first, what are the infant and maternal mortality rates in Ohio? What do those numbers look like? You're looking at me like, nope.
So I can say for like, so basically since I'm a Black woman, I definitely follow more of the infant mortality rates for Black women. Mm-hmm. So I do know that we are 3 to 4 times more likely to die during childbirth or within the first year of childbirth. So that is something that we work very hard to change that narrative. And how we do that as doulas is how we show up. So when I say how we show up, we definitely spend time educating and supporting families and just encouraging them to be hands-on with their care. Either your birth gonna happen to you or you're gonna be part of your birth. And I'm just like, hey, let's be part of the birth instead of allowing birth to happen to us. So we make sure that we give clients the tools in order to navigate as they prepare to have a baby and then go into the postpartum spirit.
Mm-hmm. And Dr. Nandiel, are you familiar with infant and maternal mortality rates? I understand that the U.S. has higher rates along these lines than most wealthy countries.
That is correct. For the amount of money that I've heard our healthcare system spends, outcomes are not favorable in infant mortality and maternal mortality. So we have a long way to go. I do not have current data at hand, but I know that it was at the forefront of my training and residency. And I'm currently a part of several efforts to reduce maternal mortality at my hospital, Bethesda North.
Hmm. Marie, is that something that you all have been talking about on the doula advisory board that you're working on? And I want to make sure that I say you are the chair of that doula advisory board for the Ohio Board of Nursing. You're not speaking for the Ohio Board of Nursing, but you do chair that group. Are those statistics that you all have been looking at closely?
It's not something that we've been looking at closely in our meetings, but it's certainly something that drove a lot of the folks who are on the doula advisory board to apply and take part in this process. Because as you said, in the United States, the rates are rising. You know, a birthing person is significantly at greater risk of either, morbidity or mortality in the United States today versus 20 years ago. Those rates got a lot higher during COVID. And I think, you know, this doula advisory board and doula having Medicaid pay for doula support was aimed at trying to help reduce the these rates of morbidity and mortality for not just all mothers, but you know, specifically to support Black mothers and Black birthing bodies, because you know, as was noted, the statistics are awful, with 3 to 5 times more likely to die during childbirth. And I know I'm based in Cleveland, and those rates can be even higher for both moms and infants. So, you know, I think that was one of the real reasons for trying to make this happen.
Yeah. And we do know that some of these numbers can be a little bit fuzzy. There was a report released in March by the American Journal of Obstetric and Gynecology. NPR did some reporting on it, kind of contesting some of these overall mortality rates. But I know here in Hamilton County, there's a lot of detailed information about how Black women in particular are much more likely to lose their babies and face maternal mortality nationwide. I think the jury is out based on this study, but it is a very important issue, and that's why we're talking about this today. Again, we're talking about doula care today and how Ohio plans to cover doula services for Medicaid recipients starting later this year. We have a voicemail from a listener about her doula experience related to home births.
I was fortunate enough to have the same doula for 2 births, 2 planned home births, which, you know, is very special to us that we were able to have 2 planned home births and a doula on top of it all, because it's not a cheap prospect to put everything out of pocket. So we considered ourselves very lucky to have a relationship with a doula who was able to kind of guide us along the way. She was there at every phone call we ever had, and was there in the wee hours of the morning for the first one and there in a moment for our second one. She was there for support for me having the baby, but also my husband as well, who didn't have quite the confidence that I had in having 2 home births. So we were very fortunate enough to have Lauren in our lives. Thank you.
Do Do you have a doula experience you'd like to share? Give us a call at 513-419-7100 or email talk@wvxu.org. We were talking about maternal mortality rates, infant mortality rates, and this report that came out in March. I should clarify that the jury's still out on that report. There's no doubt that maternal mortality and infant mortality rates are way higher than they should be in the U.S. Dr. Nandiol, I want to talk a little bit about home births. What are your thoughts about the importance of having a doula if someone is really convinced that a home birth is right for them?
Yeah, so that is a controversial topic. You know, I don't have a lot of experience with home births personally, so all of my patients typically want to deliver in the hospital, I think just due to comfort. But I know that many, many women deliver very safely at home. I'm just not a part of that experience, and I think a doula definitely is an excellent source of information and support for women going through that experience at home.
Well, and Dr. Nandiol, I will confess I have two daughters. They're grown women at this point, and I didn't know anything about doulas back when I was pregnant, but I wanted to be in the hospital because I was afraid that something would go wrong. Is that what your patients express to you? Why do your patients choose to have their births in the hospital?
That's a good question. I feel like there is a lot of anxiety regarding labor and delivery. I'm thinking it's partly social media, partly family members or friends who are kind of giving negative birth experiences more weight than the positive ones. So that anxiety leads to patients wanting more of a controlled birth experience at a center that can handle, for instance, preterm deliveries, preeclampsia, emergency C-sections, having ORs available. But again, lower risk pregnancies are the norm. Higher risk is not.
Yeah. Jacqueline, what's your experience? Have you been with birthing people for a home birth? Have you experienced that as a doula?
Yes, I have experienced home birth situations as a doula. And then I'm also a home birth midwife myself.
Oh, there you go. Lots of perspectives.
So from my perspective, I can agree with the doctor that a lot of times people choose to birth in a hospital because of stories that family members have told. Me as a doula, and as a midwife, I normally tell them like, hey, shut this conversation down because when you're going into an environment and you're going in that environment and you're scared, you're basically fighting a natural process of your body anyway. So we definitely work hard to educate on childbirth education on the front end as a doula and as a midwife. So that way we kind of know the physiological things that are going on at birth. And that way you can be more supportive and you'll know what to expect as opposed to just all the horror stories.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about doulas and how Ohio plans to cover doula services for Medicaid recipients starting later this year. My guests are Cherished Hearts founder and doula, Jacqueline Presley, Restoring Our Own Through Transformation, Chief Executive Officer and co-founder Jessica Roach, TriHealth Bethesda North Hospital, OBGYN, Dr. Sasha Nandiol, and Doula Advisory Board Chair for the Ohio Board of Nursing, and Doulify and Mom Effect founder Marie McCausland. We received an email from Gina about her doula experience, and I want to read that to you right now. Gina writes, Rebecca was absolutely wonderful during my pregnancy and birth experience. She guided me through the labor and C-section process with clear instructions and was such a huge comfort for me. Even after my son was born, she followed up with questions and status updates on not just my child, but myself, my well-being mentally, physically, and emotionally. I seriously couldn't have gone through this entire process without her. Do you have a doula experience you'd like to share? Give us a call at 513-419-7100 or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Jessica, before the break, one of the things we were talking about was infant and maternal mortality rates, how they're so much higher for Black women especially. What are some of the factors at play there, Jessica?
Well, honestly, I think that the underlying factor has always been the stress related to racism. And the concern comes into play is that as Black women, when we walk into a doctor's office, especially when we're first pregnant, one of the first things that we see or the first things that we hear are all of the risk factors that are associated with us simply because we're Black. And those, that's not a behavioral health risk, right? In public health, we talk about what the behavioral health risks are, or what some of the hereditary issues could be, or whatever the case may be. But there's always that one thing that is pulled out, which is you are more at risk for these things simply because you're Black. That in and of itself creates a stress response that starts releasing hormones that we as Black women have to carry consistently every day. And it can impact the physiological development of a healthy pregnancy. So we go into it being told that we have a deficit where we really don't. There is nothing genetic or biological that is tied to us being Black women that should create these issues. The second issue is that we cannot have a conversation about what those social determinants of health are, which is the popular conversation. The fact that we may not have a certain level of education, the fact that we may not have a certain income. We can't have those conversations without having the conversations about the structures, the structural determinants, the systemic issues, the institutional issues that have created what are now known as the social determinants of health. And we have seen this through policy development throughout our history being here in this country. Those are the risk factors, and those are the issues that create these increased maternal and infant mortality rates that we are consistently talking about, because they negatively impact us. It's automatically assumed that we're at a deficit. There are things that we either will voice and say that is going on with us, and it will get passed off as something that is supposed to be normal for us, but it is not. We have violations of our own respect and privacy when it comes to what is that we want for our own birth experiences. And then we have practitioners that are on the floor that have been trained in these institutions. I myself am a nurse of 25 years. I know what that education looks like in nursing school. I know what that education looks like for my residents that I've precepted, where these types of misnomers are consistently grounded into every aspect of healthcare, where because we're Black, we're more at risk. And so we get treated as such when we're seeking care.
And Jessica, how do you think doulas can help improve those outcomes? What has research shown in that regard?
The research in and of itself speaks for itself, but I do want to speak to that considering the involvement in research that I've had along with Root, is that a lot of that research when it comes to doulas has to do with still a predominantly white population. We don't have as much when it comes to just Black women, but we do have some that is emerging, and we also have what is considered anecdotal, which could be utilized as qualitative. We have better birth outcomes when we have a support person and a doula in the room with us, and not just in the room during labor and delivery. Let's be really clear about that. There are succinct differences. We need to have that doula, that advocate that's with us throughout our entire pregnancy, because then we have an opportunity to be able to receive education from our doulas that we don't necessarily receive when we go into a physician's office. And I know for our organization in particular, we have had multiple times where we've even had the father say, we feel like we are more engaged with this process because we have you here, because you're explaining to us what's going on, because we have better information, because you're engaging us more. So I, as the father, am able to support my wife, my partner, in this process, and we're able to work together. So that really is key to where the doulas come into play. But I do not want that to be mistaken for the fact that all of the responsibility of having better birth outcomes, in particular in Black maternal and infant health, falls on the doula, because you can't cover a bullet wound with a Band-Aid. You have to still address the system transformation that has to happen within the healthcare system itself. You cannot put all of that responsibility on the doula, but the doula definitely can address levels of stress, levels of education, being able to connect the dots, being able to say why it is that we develop preeclampsia, why it is that we develop gestational hypertension, and connect in with that client and develop that level of trust so that we can get to that healthy birth outcome, not just for ourselves, but for not just for our babies, but for ourselves, long into postpartum.
Yeah. Dr. Nandial, what do you think? As a physician, how do you see your role when it comes to infant and maternal mortality? How do you see the role of nurses in the hospitals, you know, as it relates to all these outcomes that we're talking about?
That's a great question. So my role with my training is basically to avoid any bad outcomes, but I'm realizing with some experience here that I also need to empower my patients and support them throughout the whole process as best I can. And that tends to be a little bit more support for my minority patients. I realize that I'm working against a very powerful and destructive system within, you know, the country as a whole due to our history of institutionalized racism. I need to kind of make up for a little bit of the distrust that they have towards me, which is expected. So anything I can do to sit with them, listen to their concerns. I may be the only person that has listened to them their whole pregnancy, depending on when I meet them. And I encourage my nurses on labor and delivery to do the same. And I'm really seeing that the newer doctors being trained are getting a better, I think their bias is much less. As you know, like older physicians probably have a little bit more bias than younger doctors. And we're making the medical professional system more diverse by recruiting more diverse candidates to our programs.
Mm-hmm. The Ohio Medicaid program is going to start covering doula services for patients later this year. As I mentioned at the top of our conversation, we invited the Ohio Department of Medicaid to be on the program. They couldn't join us, but did send a statement. That statement reads, "The Ohio Department of Medicaid recognizes and celebrates the importance of doulas. House Bill 33 paved the way for doulas to become certified by the Ohio Board of Nursing. The Ohio Department of Medicaid has been working on creating rules about eligibility, services and reimbursement rates, and improving our IT system to begin enrolling doulas as providers. We hope to roll out this coverage for Board of Nursing certified doulas by the end of this year." We're going to talk a lot about this new process. Dr. Nandiel, I know you have limited time with us. What, if any, role do you think physicians should have in helping to, you know, craft those rules and regulations? Do you think doctors should have a voice in that?
I don't know if I can speak to that directly. I think we need to kind of stay out of the way of doula involvement with our patients. A lot of it happens when we're not with them. So we need to collaborate as best we can. And I thoroughly support that.
Yeah. Marie, tell us about why it's viewed as so important to have doula services covered for Medicaid patients.
Sure. I mean, Jessica Roach spoke to the fact that, you know, when doulas are supporting their clients, you know, there's better outcomes. And we know the research, you know, it's not as though it's only low-income Black individuals who are having these poor outcomes. In fact, as you know, as education rises and income rises, there's actually a negative effect. So it can be up to 5 to 6 times more likely a Black woman to die in childbirth if they have this advanced education versus a white woman with a high school degree. So, you know, I think, you know, this won't obviously solve everything. But if we're able to provide doulas to, you know, those low income individuals who are on Medicaid, you know, the hope is that it would allow them to have, you know, better birth outcomes, a more satisfying experience, and allow them to be, you know, heard in a way that they might not have been able to without having a doula.
Mm-hmm. We do have a caller on the line. Hi, Caitlin. Thank you so much for calling. What is your question or comment?
Well, prior to giving birth to my son, I did not look into having a doula or anything like that. And then at the hospital, I ended up being stuck with a nurse who did not listen to me, did not listen to my pain or anything like that. And I ended up with an emergency C-section. And I didn't consider a doula because I just thought the nurses and doctors would guide me through labor and delivery. But I just I think she was a travel nurse, and I think she didn't know what she was doing. And so I had a traumatic birth experience, and I even have a decent amount of medical knowledge. I'm a doctor of occupational therapy, and I've worked in a hospital system, and so I feel like I know how to advocate for myself, but I still had, you know, that traumatic experience. So my biggest recommendation to people who are going to give birth is to have that doula for that third-party advocate, because when you're in such a vulnerable position, it's really difficult to advocate for yourself.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Caitlin. I'm sorry you had such a difficult experience. That's so tough. Jacqueline, what do you think? What do you tell people about having a doula? And I should say, you're a mom yourself. Have you had a doula in your corner when you've gone through your childbirth experiences?
So I became a doula because I didn't have a doula in my corner. I had plenty of family members that supported me, but I didn't have a doula in my corner. I did have a traumatic birth experience myself. Like, I have multiple. Like, I had 3 of my babies at a local hospital that I'm not going to name.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And I just remember not feeling supported, not feeling heard. And I started getting smarter as I went along, because like we said, yes, I have 7 kids. So by the time I got to baby number 5, it was more like I knew that I was going to wait until the last minute to go to the hospital. And that's just what it was. Like, I mean, I remember my water breaking with baby number 5 and basically being told that my water never broke. And I'm like, no, it been broke. And y'all just didn't listen to me. Mm. And I remember going to my cousin's house and laboring. And I remember me in my mind thinking, I'm going to have this baby at home by myself. And to be honest with you, I wasn't scared of that, because by that time, we on baby number 5. Like,
you're a pro.
Right. <Yeah. laughs> And then I remember with my twins, I had twins, number 6 and 7 are twins. Actually, they just had a birthday yesterday. And so with them, I remember, like, I have never had an epidural. I've always had everybody naturally. And I had to get an epidural. Well, I was told that I needed to get an epidural with baby B, which was the second twin that was born. And I remember my epidural going up instead of going down, so I couldn't feel from my neck down. I couldn't breathe.
Goodness.
Like, and I just remember wishing that I had an advocate, because I'm looking on the table as I'm struggling to breathe and mouthing to the nurse that I couldn't breathe. But I remember looking at my kid's dad just walking up and down the OR, pacing the floor, like, I'm going to call our moms.
Yeah.
So that kind of propelled me into the birth space in the first place, because it was like, I don't never want to see another mom have to go through an experience like that. I don't want to see another dad go through an experience like that, because I just looked at my child's father walking up and down the hall, up and down the operating room. But I also remember him being very loud and clear, like, I'm going to call our moms. And at that moment, I didn't need him to call our mamas. I really needed him to be there with me. And I just was like, it would be nice if people actually had that education. So that is what propelled me into becoming a doula in the first place, because it was like, nobody else should have to experience that. Nobody else should be sitting on an operating table just because they're having twins and it's not a high-risk pregnancy. Mm. And also, nobody should not be listened to, because I remember the nurse stand next to me as they told me that they were going to give me an epidural to manually turn my son, saying that y'all not telling her all her options. And I wish I would have asked, like, what are all my options?
Yeah.
But like the caller said, when you're in a vulnerable state, you're not in a position to advocate for yourself.
Yeah, sure can be tough. Thank you for calling, Caitlin, and thank you, Jacqueline, for sharing your experience. We are going to continue our conversation in just a moment. I know you need to leave us now, Dr. Dandiol. Is there anything else you'd like to add that as from a physician's perspective that you haven't gotten to mention during this conversation?
I'm just very grateful that I'm a part of the conversation. Hope that patients can acquire more doula support, and I'll do whatever I can to support them.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time, Dr. Dandiol. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're talking today about doulas and how Ohio plans to cover doula services for Medicaid recipients starting later this fall. My guests are Cherished Hearts founder and doula, Jacqueline Presley, Restoring Our Own Through Transformation chief executive officer and co-founder, Jessica Roach, and doula advisory board chair for the Ohio Board of Nursing and Doulify and Mom Effect founder, Marie McCausland. We received an email from Kara about her experience with a doula. Kara writes, "The road to motherhood was a difficult one. I suffered multiple miscarriages as well as a traumatic second trimester loss and delivery. I chose to hire a doula for the eventual births of both of my daughters. Pregnancy and childbirth was a source of a lot of anxiety for me. My doula was a great comfort to both my husband and I, helping us work through a lot of our fears and uncertainties. Because of her help, my childbirth experiences were healing after so much loss." Do you have questions about doulas or an experience with a doula that you'd like to share? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Marie, we were talking about how the Ohio Medicaid recipients will have doula services covered for their pregnancy and delivery later this year. What's the timeline for all that to start?
The current deadline for the rules to be in place is October 3rd, and that's, when, again, all the rules have to kind of be in place for what, how a certified doula can sign up for the program, and also how Medicaid would be reimbursing them. I think, I am concerned about the timeline and how, quick we've been kind of forced to get these rules put into place, because it's kind of put us in a spot where, the doula advisory board, I feel, hasn't, I haven't been able to, support the doula advisory board and kind of getting our footing and our thoughts and opinions on what the rules should look like, in place, and have them kind of heard by the Board of Nursing in a way that's useful, in part because of this very quick turnaround, which it may not seem quick to everyone else. October is a long time away, but there's a lot of processes that have to, different groups that the rules have to be approved by before they can kind of go into effect. I am concerned that, even though it's supposed to start in October, that, things may not be in place, or what is in place could be, an amplification of those institutional and systemic racism that Jessica kind of brought up, and sort of as one of the, issues facing, Black women and Black doulas as they support their families.
Well, Marie, what kind of certification would doulas need to take part in this program and be reimbursed? Has that been determined yet?
So right now, that's one of the rules that we're working on. One of the issues that we've come up against is that the law has written in this title protection, or at least has been interpreted as a title protection, for the term certified doula. There's over 100 certifying agencies of doulas. There's no sort of centralized group that is certifying doulas. So you could be certified by Root or BBC up in Cleveland, or certified through CAPA or DONA, which are some of the larger national organizations.
Yeah. Marie, I apologize. I'm going to have to interrupt you. We're having a little bit of trouble with your audio. So I know it's
Oh, no.
It's technology is great until it's not. So Jessica, Marie was talking about all these different certification programs. How have doulas traditionally been trained, and what are your thoughts about how that should be incorporated into this whole process with this new Medicaid program?
Well, that's a bit of a complex conversation. It's probably going to take a little bit longer than the hour that we have, but to keep it as simple as possible, When you're talking about doula training, and this is part of the issue that we're having now, in particular here in the state of Ohio, also to note that is a point of note that Ohio would be the only state in the entire country currently that has a doula certification that runs under the Board of Nursing. And so doulas and being trained, this is a term that has come up and been used since early 1950s, but late 1950s, 1960s, 70s. And a lot of this type of training, quote unquote, happened from peer to peer. It was about learning. It was about being in the process. It was about actually apprenticing under someone who was already maybe a midwife or doing some type of work in the birth space. It was a great deal of independent work in that case. You had some of these entities that developed as far as being nationally and internationally known to have this specific doula training and certification. But again, those trainings, especially when they first developed, and maybe up until I would say the last 5-10 years, were not really culturally congruent. So they spoke to a very different population versus us as Black women. But birth work in and of itself, Black midwifery, birth work, doula work, is all something that is steeped in a tradition that we have carried for over 400 years that we've been here in this country. And it has always been a process of being able to learn from your peers, being able to apprentice under those that have these types of skills, and being able to be able to facilitate the type of birth processes that we want. Now, with doula trainings, you see several different types of doula trainings across the country. You see them coming from, like, again, organizations like ours, organizations like BBC's. They're both local and national. All of them have something different to offer. So it has to do more with what the individual themselves is looking for. And so to have training like that regulated by an entity that isn't really as familiar with what the work truly is can be a hindrance. Because there are some trainings that we go through because we want this particular type of skill. There are trainings that we go through because we want to be able to have that culturally congruent. We're very specifically wanting to work with Black populations. And, you know, with DONA, the training can be a weekend. But with an institution like ours, the training lasts over 6 weeks because of knowing what it is that we need for our population. So, you know, that's why it becomes so complex and why there's such a concern is that you don't want to regulate or over-regulate a profession that has multiple aspects to it that needs to be considered in this whole variable.
Mm-hmm. Marie, what role or voice have doulas had in creating these guidelines and regulations?
Unfortunately, we haven't had a great we haven't had any role in the creation of the rules. In our meetings, you know, the rules have been brought to us and we have been able to provide feedback. And I have to say, you know, the doulas on the board, as well as the doulas that have come to our public meetings in Columbus and voiced their concerns and provided their feedback have been so essential in even crafting what we have so far. But unfortunately, some of our largest concerns, which are, you know, around the disciplinary actions and how the Board of Nursing would be disciplining and regulating doulas, those concerns have not been heard by us or even through the public comment process. They've been largely ignored.
Jacqueline, have you been following this process? What are your thoughts about this? What's going on at the state level to kind of pave the way for doulas to be able to provide these services to Medicaid recipients?
So I've had the privilege to go up to Columbus quite a few times now to be part of those conversations with the doula board. My thoughts on it is, it seems to me like we already had, like, they already know what they're going to do. So it's like the doula board is just a space filler. I would love to see, like, this actually work, but I have to agree with Jessica on this one. It should not be under the Board of Nursing at this moment in time or ever, because the way that people doula, everybody doula is different. There's a specific style catered directly to the demographic that you choose to serve. And so if we're putting under all these regulations and things, then it makes it harder for us to be able to move how we want to move. And then my fear is, as we start being covered by Medicare and we start moving into these hospital systems, like we already been in there, but I kind of fear as we go into the Medicaid part that we're going to lose our level of autonomy, because right now it's like, hey, we don't work for the hospital. We work for the client. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a scary time. And I definitely, like, I have my concerns.
Mm-hmm. Jessica, I understand that Medicaid patients represent about half of Ohio's births each year. How big of an impact could this doula program have when it comes to improving the state's infant and maternal mortality outcomes if it comes together, you know, and successfully?
Well, if it came together successfully, so to utilize the number of the Medicaid births, I mean, that's overall, that's a general aggregate number. There could be a significant amount of success if the Medicaid reimbursement for doulas comes together in a way that is respectful of the autonomy of the family in order to choose the doula that they want to have specifically for their birth. The problem is that what could be a potential backlash, which is what it is that we're dealing with and advocating for right now, is that if Medicaid has these type of very strict regulations, it may in fact keep certain doulas from being able to practice. It would put them under an advisement type of situation, a regulatory type of situation where they could not advocate for their patients in the way that they had prior to the development of the Medicaid program, which could in fact cause a backlash and cause there to be the same, similar, or more birth, you know, difficult birth outcomes that would occur. Here's the reality, and I think that the way that I can answer this question most clearly is this, is that I myself, as a nurse, had my own traumatic birth experience. I've been in the medical field for a very, very long time. My perinatal support doulas are trained so that they recognize signs and symptoms of certain clinical issues as well, to be able to help mitigate all of those types of things and work with the direct healthcare provider so that we can work as a perinatal team. And that's the part that's missing, is that doulas need to be recognized, one, as part of the perinatal care team. They need to be recognized and understood that they have insight to that patient that a physician may not have because they only see them once a month, whereas they see their doula much more frequently. And if we can pull all of those things together where there is still an autonomy for the doula to be able to practice as that patient advocate, we're going to see those outcomes change. But if we cannot see that, we're going to see the same results that we have consistently seen, in particular in Ohio, where we still have the largest health disparity gap between Black infants and white infants. We have a maternal mortality and morbidity rate that is not well reported. And these things are happening more because of the institutional and systemic issues than they are because of any true health concern, because those health concerns get mitigated by the doula. If we're going to use Medicaid as a method of being able to reimburse, then we have to make sure that those regulations are very clear that will allow the autonomy of both the doula and the family to be able to advocate for themselves and develop the plan with the physician so that we can get to the outcomes that we need to have. My organization in and of itself has been here for 7 years. We have a 0% Black maternal and infant mortality rate. Mm-hmm. And it's because we work for the family. We advocate for the family. We work with the physician. We know what it is that our family needs, and we're able to get them to where they want to be based upon what it is that they have expressed for their needs.
Yeah. We got an email from Rachel. Rachel writes, "It was such a relief to have my doula in the room with us throughout labor. She provided guidance and support as far as physical movements and pain relief while still giving my partner plenty of opportunities to be a part of the experience. We appreciated having someone in the room who'd seen it all before and could give us their undivided attention. As an anxious person, it helped me so much." Marie, can members of the public participate in this regulation-making process? I mean, I'm wondering, can people submit letters about their experiences with doulas? How can people get involved if they have strong opinions about this? Oh, Marie, I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm going to have to cut you off again because your connection's real bad.
I think that I can actually answer. This is Jessica.
Again. Okay,
I think that
thank
I can
you.
Actually answer that question since Marie is not here. There are plenty of opportunities for the public to get involved, and we would love to see the public get involved much more. Unfortunately, because of how these regulations have passed, and it was not as a bill, it was actually as a budget item. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't anything that was voted on. It was something that was passed through the budget and then signed off by the governor. Folks can email the rules for the Ohio Board of Nursing directly. They can make phone calls. I always suggest be very clear, be very concise. Talk about your experience, why it was that a doula was good for you, or why it is that you think a doula may have been good for you. Know about the history and the culture that goes behind birth work and why it's such a necessary component. And then reach out to your local legislators. Let them know this is not how it is that we want to see things go. We want to be able to make sure that doulas can get Medicaid reimbursement, but we want to be able to make sure that doulas be able to remain in the space that they can act independently and with some autonomy with the families so that they can better advocate for the families. And we want to hear all of the stories from everyone that has had an experience either with or without, because those are the things that really should be shaping what these proposals are for the doula regulation in regards to Medicaid reimbursement. And Medicaid needs to be very clear about looking at what the value of that service truly is and be matching it up with other states that are increasing those reimbursement rates because they know the level of time, energy, and work that doulas put in with the families in order to get to the outcomes that we want to see.
Yeah, that is, it is not a 9-to-5 job, I'm sure, huh, Jacqueline?
Not at all.
Well, this has been a fascinating conversation. I really appreciate all of you all being with us today. I've been talking with Cherished Hearts founder and doula, Jacqueline Presley, Restoring Our Own Through Transformation Chief Executive Officer and co-founder, Jessica Roach, and Doula Advisory Board Chair for the Ohio Board of Nursing and Doulify and Mom Effect founder, Marie McCausland. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I also want to give a shout out to the doctor we had on earlier in the program who was so kind to join us. We had Dr. Sasha Nandial on the program earlier. She had to leave a little bit early, but big thanks to her for joining us today. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Asiya Johnson. Technical director today is Stephen Baum. If you miss our program live, you can subscribe to Cincinnati Edition wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Lucy May. Thank you so much for listening.